Cities News Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Hour 3, final hour of your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. Jesse Kelly joining us in about 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Always fun to catch up with Jesse Kelly. It's on the sheet.
Well, just for a short period of time. It wasn't a long period of time. It's just at the moment, right now, when you said it, I was not thinking about it and therefore briefly had forgotten about it.
We are broadcasting from the auto show tomorrow morning. That's going to be a lot of fun. We're also going to help raise some money for Mended Hearts tomorrow. So stick around for details on that. Go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com for all the information.
Yeah, and we'll dive into the school admissions bribery scandal involving some well-known actors and actresses, and we'll do that coming up in a few minutes. So that's pretty handcuffed by the FBI agents with guns drawn, an early morning raid, according to the report of the alleged college admissions scam.
I'm having a hard time not just unleashing.
I know. Yeah, well, but first, we got to unleash a little on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So there was a listener yesterday who sent us a tweet and said, "Hey, did you see this? What do you think of it?" And so I clicked on the link, and it was from WSAU. So this is out of a radio station out of Wisconsin. Wow, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez exposed. Okay, written by Ben Armstrong. The article says, sounds like a conspiracy theory, but it's not. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez came from a casting call and was handpicked out of 10,000 applicants. She admits this, and so do the ones who control her, the Justice Democrats. No affiliation. These are the socialists who created her. They are proud of what they have done and can't help but gloat about it. Okay, so what we do is we have the audio here from these Justice Democrats. The way that's worded is a bit misleading. To say she was picked out of a casting call. You'll hear in this piece of audio, we won't play all of it, it's about 8 minutes long. But you'll hear in the audio that what this is a group, this is an activist organization, Justice Democrats. And their goal is to go and find individuals to run for office who can further their beliefs and agendas.
Right.
And Ocasio, you'll hear, was her name was submitted, and I think from her brother.
Not even her. Like,
right.
She didn't even submit herself to run, you know, to run for office. She got nominated by her brother, probably as a joke. I don't think her brother likes her very much.
Well, she talks about how she's been politically inclined. And the way that this is put forward is, you know, it's like, oh, she's an actress and she's been on the casting call.
They're presenting it like it's a casting call.
Yeah.
Like she auditioned for this. And that's not really a fair characterization of how we've seen this happen before.
Right.
You know, where, you know, I've been involved with various libertarian parties, you know, in all the places that I've lived. And I've seen libertarians do similar things where, look, you know, we need to get as many people on the ballots as possible. You know, we know we're not going to win a lot of these seats, but we got to have a presence on the ballots to maintain whatever status that we currently have. And I'm necessarily here in Minnesota, but in other places. So they will do that. They will put out a call through like social media going, hey, we need somebody who lives in district blah blah blah.
Right.
You know, who would be willing to run for this particular office and this and that. So that sounds like that's what happened here.
Yeah, you see something very similar in almost all municipalities, and we've witnessed this before too as another example, where you have individuals who start interning for a political party, and then suddenly they end up becoming a part of somebody's campaign staff as they go and run for city council office, and then eventually that person ends up getting spun up and spit out,
sure.
And they end up running for office. It's very similar. We point all that out because, at least in my opinion, it's important to get to understand what's happened here, because this isn't anything illegal.
No.
It's also very effective.
It's also relatively common.
Yes.
It's not, you know, it's not super common, but it's not, you know, it's not rare.
Right.
When things like this happen. And it's also, I think, important to make sure that, you know, when you're talking about it and when you're characterizing this, you're doing it in a way that's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And going out there and saying that she's an actress who auditioned for this part.
Right.
And is being fed scripted lines is not entirely accurate.
No, what we have...
She's being fed.
Oh, yeah. No, she's being groomed.
Right.
But she mentions in the video, and we will play you the audio. She mentions in the audio that her family was politically inclined. I would question whether or not she would have ended up running for office if it hadn't been for this organization finding her.
Doesn't sound like it.
No.
Doesn't sound like it. Doesn't sound like she had any inclination of leaning in this direction, of going this direction with her life until her brother submitted her name. And she won, I guess.
And this is not to provide an excuse for how big of an idiot she is by any stretch of the imagination. It's more to add context to her idiocy. Because when you watch the video, and Sam, I know you pulled the audio, and curious to get your impression too. But when you listen to the audio, you watch this video with her. What it looks like to me is that she decided to go along with it. She won this seat. And now what they wanted to do, these Justice Democrats wanted to do, worked better than they could have possibly imagined with her. But it also goes to show, yeah, and she got thrust immediately into the spotlight. And now we understand why she's been sounding like such an idiot. Because she really doesn't know what she's talking about.
Well, clearly. and she kind of... I feel like you definitely get that vibe, like exactly what you're saying. And I don't think that any of them expected her to blow up the way that she did. And I think that's kind of clear when you watch this video.
All right, so here we go. You ready? Let's do this.
Back in 2016, we put out a call for nominations, trying to capture the diversity of background, of experience, of the American electorate, people that aren't currently represented in office. We got over 10,000 nominations. Out of those 10,000 nominations, we found Alexandria.
My brother told me that he had sent my nomination in the summer, but I was like, literally working out of a restaurant, and I was like, there's no way.
Her profile is not what you think of as someone who should run for office, right?
I grew up with a really politically engaged and attuned family. We always were debating politics, talking about things, but we were never involved in the formal structures of politics.
We saw these signs of someone who's willing to sacrifice their own future for the good of others.
I remember some of the moments that I felt really dejected about politics, the extension of the Bush tax cuts in 2010, and seeing that the same people...
Wait, what?
You're a liar?
That was like a watershed moment for you?
She can't get like a minute into talking without saying something ridiculous.
She's a liar.
No, you know, it was 2010. So what was she? She would have been like 20? About 20 years old.
What is she, 29 right now?
Yeah, something like that. So she was, you know, 19, 20, 21 years old. And the extension of the Bush tax cuts. It's like, oh, man, I'm so sad. What 20-year-old? what happened? You seem down. Well, you know, the Bush tax cuts got extended. Other people.
It's really heartbreaking.
Other people that aren't me are going to continue to enjoy a tax cut. And it just makes me sad.
She probably would have been in school at that point, too. She wasn't paying attention to any of that.
Yeah, she's a liar.
We're financing all campaigns. And I was like, what is even the difference of a Democrat and a Republican?
That was the depressing part, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so I, like a lot of working people, felt that cynicism. And I understood it very deeply. 2016 represented a re-engagement. That's when I started tuning in more to activism and really getting to the core of these issues. I remember that evening on Election Day in November. I was really disappointed and really sad, but I was not shocked.
She was at Standing Rock trying to figure out what her next steps are, just like a lot of people were. What do you do when someone like Trump wins?
And my experience at Standing Rock was so spiritually transformative. Being there in such an acute moral struggle, you really saw how it was more important than any material thing. And so I walked out of that camp and I was like, what do I do? And then literally that day, I get this email like, this is what you do.
So Izzy, one of the people that was working with us at the time, called and it was scheduled for 20, 30 minutes and it went maybe an hour and a half.
Like, you hadn't thought about running for office or anything at that point, right?
No.
You knew you got to do something.
I knew that I had to do something.
Yeah, we would call people up and kind of walk them through the platform.
We would try to call up folks that were like doing all kinds of amazing stuff, right? Every conversation would have a very awkward pitch at the end because we'd talk to them about like, oh, it's so great. You're like saving lives, you're fixing stuff in your community. And so do you
you want to run for Congress, maybe?
She was like, well, would you be open entering this kind of nomination process? And I was like, sure, because that's not a will you run for Congress.
Yeah, we felt the passion in her voice. She really wanted to fight for the big thing. And she got on a bunch of video calls to meet some of the other candidates that...
You know, we talked about this earlier, and I think she's too far to the dark side now to come back. Okay. I'm convinced of yeah. that now.
The Ben Solo in her is dead.
Yeah. There is no
yeah, she's Kylo Cortez.
There is no AOC redemption going on with her. But when I thought that before, this actually puts a little bit more light on that. And the idea was, we know that prior she had worked in the restaurant. I think she had run a restaurant, right? And we criticized her because she had pushed back against some of the burdensome regulations that were hurting her ability to go and do this and working in the private sector. And clearly here, working in the private sector didn't work out for her, right? And so she was open. She was willing. These individuals stepped in and they just... I mean, she was a bowl that had a little bit of soup in it, right? And they just poured it all in and filled that sucker up to the top. And now it's boiling. It's, you know, it's flowing out of her now. Yeah. They filled her with all this garbage and she just took it all in.
And you can, and it's a similar, it's not a terribly dissimilar path for Ilhan Omar.
Right.
You know, coming out of the activist community and then getting propped up by activists and members of the party, power players in the party, who saw her as someone that could ascend and take the, you know, win the seat from Phyllis Kahn, go on and move on to Congress when Keith Ellison stepped down. You know, she got sort of pushed along. The problem is now you've elevated these people, you've put them on these platforms, you've put them on these pedestals, and now all they're hearing is, you know, they go online, they go on Twitter, and they get a million mentions about how amazing they are, and they're such an inspiration, and they're doing all these great things. So, like, nobody has a check on their stupid.
Right.
Because they're both saying some really stupid things, and they're both inexperienced. You know, they don't know how a lot of these things work, they don't understand how a lot of these things work, but they're able to put themselves in a position where they don't have to learn.
Right.
And they don't have to get better. Because they're already there.
Right.
They're already there. They've achieved, you know, they've reached this pinnacle. They've reached this pedestal. And now millions of people are telling them they're amazing and they're awesome and they're an inspiration and they're so excited for them. And then that's all they listen to. They don't ever have to actually get better.
It's easier, right? Or I mean, not even easier. It's possible to be successful. Be Ilhan Omar and AOC when you are attached to the left. If you have the right equivalent of an Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez that goes out there and says as many insane and stupid, ridiculous right. and unbelievable, lacking of fact or quality things, they don't last a week. But when you belong to the party... When you belong to the party that's more style over substance,
right.
You're right. You're propped up and applauded for it because as long as you got the loudest voice, man, it doesn't matter the crap that comes out of your mouth.
No, most of the conservatives I know, you know, if somebody were running on the Republican or a conservative platform and they were as vapid as AOC is and demonstrated, you know, such a dearth of knowledge when it comes to the issues that they're championing, they would get abandoned.
Right.
Like, no, I'm not supporting that guy.
But that's a lot of clarity as to why she is how she is. That's a lot of clarity as to why she goes out there. And when you sit her down like she did, like they did at the South by Southwest event, and you just let her go.
Yeah.
She's just every other minute is just another stupid, ridiculous, lacking any type of substance argument.
Everything she says is either wrong or a lie.
Right. Yeah. And because she doesn't know any. It's not a free pass. She doesn't know any better.
KW in Minneapolis. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. AOC. I mean, AOC is simply a rock star. I mean, Her and Donald Trump maybe have a lot in common. The media built them both up.
Mm.
She's young.
Mm.
She has a very good political voice, and she deals in platitudes just like a most politician does. And, you know, most good politicians, they will say outrageous things just to keep their name in the public spotlight. And, I mean, you got to go like
the only thing AOC and Trump have in common is that they're provocative. That's the only thing that they have in common.
I mean, Donald Trump is very popular with his base. AOC is very popular with her base. Conservatives don't like her because of her popularity. And, you know, once she get down, once she get into the, I guess, into the dirt of true politics, she can only get better. So in the political world, AOC only had the sky's the limit for her.
KW, I won't speak for other conservatives. I'll tell you why I don't like AOC. It's because she's dumb and she's in a position of power. That's why I don't like her. And it's not about her popularity. I don't care if she's popular or not. What bothers me and why I don't like her is that she doesn't know what she's doing, and she's in a position where she can go and influence individuals and make and influence lawmaking and pass laws. Her and Ilhan Omar, I understand they were elected to those positions, so I'm not going to say they don't deserve to be there, but they shouldn't be there.
I mean, there was a hearing yesterday where Maxine Waters brought in the Wells Fargo CEO to just get basically yelled at, you know, by members of Congress yesterday, and AOC was a part of it, and she asked them why they are financing why they're caging children. She accused the Wells Fargo CEO of financing the caging of children. And the guy was like, I don't know how to answer that because we weren't.
Right. Was she trying to make some argument about the caged babies in the border and some support of somebody who supports border enforcement that brings about the caging? I'm trying to help. I don't.
They finance loans to some companies, and some of those companies were contracted out to build detention centers.
Oh my gosh. She's almost impossible to map. It's hard to map that level of stupid. It really, really is. All right, coming up, the college bribery scam reveals how rich people use charity to cheat. That's the way the headline read out of Vice magazine of this college admission Hollywood star scandal that we'll give you
30 on 103.5 FM.
All right, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Welcome back to your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew. Jesse Kelly joining us in the next segment. We were playing some audio talking about sort of the path that AOC meandered her way into the position that she's at now. Andy in Plymouth has got some comments. Good morning, Andy.
Yeah, good morning, guys. So, you know, this prior caller, really just highlights the problem with the left today. I mean, AOC has absolutely no comparison to Donald Trump. Donald Trump was elected as a populist president. He represents more of what mainstream America outside of nutty New York actually believes. And AOC is elected in a district in New York that has about no relationship with how America feels about America and its future going forward. And this has really been the problem. Is you look at the quality of these politicians, you know, that are coming out of the big cities throughout the United States. I mean, they are the problem. You know, we elect the government we deserve. And thank you, New Yorkers, for putting people like AOC and, you know, Ilhan Omar, you know, from Minneapolis, which about represents America's interests as nobody. I mean, this is the problem. Is you're going to always have a diversity in Congress, but AOC, it does not represent any mainstream. She doesn't even represent the beliefs of the Democrat Party today.
No. And she's the de facto spokesperson for him right now.
She's their highest profile member of Congress, for sure.
They're having an identity crisis in the Democrat Party, and they know it, and they don't want to admit it.
Yeah.
But the reality is that, I mean, nothing better could happen to all of us conservatives than to see more and more of these AOCs. And if this guy thinks that that's what all liberals of tomorrow believe is what AOC advocates, well,
this guy's about as out of touch as she is with reality.
I hope that's not true. I mean, that really bothers me and that concerns me when I think about, you know, the things that AOC says and the things that she believes. And I don't know. I mean, I don't believe that she is representative of a large swath of the country, but I don't know that, you know, and I do worry that, you know, she's captured sort of the imagination and the ears of the millennial crowd and the young people. And if she really does have a significant constituency of people that genuinely buy into her beliefs that America is a garbage country, essentially. I mean, she basically came out and said that a couple days ago, and America is garbage, and that, you know, everything we're doing is wrong, and that, you know, this country oppresses millions of people, and all of these victimization lines and ideas that she likes to put out there. You know, we're doomed.
Well, we're
just doomed.
Yeah, there's still this fundamental belief, in my opinion, that the left has of why Trump won, and they think that Trump won for the same reasons that like AOC won. They think that he won because of his name and because of his popularity and all that. And while that's partly true, it's not fully the reason why, or even the majority of the reason why. No, the reason why he won was because people on the right were sick and tired of getting pushed around. It was in direct response to the 8 years of former President Barack Obama, the political correctness in the country, the lack of any prominent member of the GOP to go and seemingly get anything done when they get into the White House. And so we ended up putting in an individual who had a business acumen and a successful one at that, who also had some name recognition.
Right.
And that's why he ended up winning. And they still do not fundamentally understand that, in my opinion.
Trump is a product of the frustration that a lot of conservatives had with the McCain campaign against Obama and the Romney campaign against Obama. I mean, that really, it boils down to it. It was like they did not want another sort of milquetoasty, nice candidate who was going to go around the country and apologize for conservatism and try to convince everybody that no, Republicans aren't bad people. You know, we are compassionate. We do care, you know, and I'm constantly trying to have to sell themselves on that sort of defensive position. They wanted a candidate and they wanted a nominee who, when, you know, the left and their accomplices in the mainstream media punched him, would punch back.
Right.
That's all they were looking for. A fighter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can look at all of these other things and they are all factors, but at the core of it, the Republican base wanted somebody who was going to fight. It was going to punch back when struck by, you know, with all of these ridiculous allegations. And Donald Trump was the only one out of the 16 that was willing to do that.
Yep. And he's done a pretty good job so far.
Yeah.
All right. This got a couple of different versions here. We're going to get into more detail of this with Jesse Kelly when he joins us next. We'll do a little roundtable with Jesse Kelly. But TV stars Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin were charged in an alleged college admission scam. A source told the LA Times that Huffman and the other defendants had recently received notice that they might be facing arrest. Huffman's husband, actor William H. Macy, sat in a courtroom as the judge ordered her release on $250,000 bond. Court papers said a cooperating witness met with Huffman and Macy in their Los Angeles home and explained to them that the controlled SAT testing center and could have somebody correct her daughter's wrong answers. He controlled the SAT testing center. The person told investigators the couple agreed to the plan. Their daughter, Sophia, an aspiring actress, allegedly took the test and got a score of 1420, a 400-point improvement over her first test, according to the LA Times.
Wow.
Huffman and several of the defendants were charged with conspiracy to commit fraud, punishable by up to 20 years in prison. Macy was not charged, although authorities didn't say why. Probably because he's a great actor and they don't want to not see him in many movies.
Yeah,
he's a good guy.
Shameless season 10's coming up.
50 parents ensnared in the massive cheating scandal allegedly funneled money to William Rick Singer, a California man pinpointed as the scheme's ringleader. The money was allegedly used to bribe athletic coaches or for help cheating on entrance exams so their children would be admitted into prestigious schools, including Yale, Georgetown, Stanford, and the University of Southern California. Since when is USC a prestigious school? It's kind of, yeah. I mean,
the bar's been lowered.
Yeah, it really has. I usually consider the Ivy, you know, the ivy-colored halls of UCLA, you know, UCLA, to be a little bit more prestigious than USC.
The bar's been lowered.
No students have been charged, authorities saying that in many of the cases, the teenagers were unaware of the parents' plans.
Until yesterday, yesterday ended up being the worst day in a lot of kids' lives when they found out that their parents had cheated. Like they were in a position that they didn't earn and that they didn't deserve, and that their parents had broken the law on the way to getting them there. I mean, you know, to have some compassion for those kids.
Oh, no way.
No, that's not for that on Twitter.
No, that's not fashionable anymore.
There's no time for that on social
compassion,
media.
Compassion, what's that?
Yeah.
No.
Because there's a bunch of kids that had the worst day of their lives yesterday. But it's okay because they're rich. It's okay because they're rich and we hate them.
Lori Loughlin, known for playing Aunt Becky on the family sitcom Full House, right? Loughlin and her husband both face charges for allegedly giving $500,000 to have their two daughters' athletic records falsified. The husband was released on a $1 million bond and had his travel restricted to continental United States. Yeah, this was such a huge, huge story. But you're right. The way that it's being framed is for all the wrong. It's being looked at for all the wrong reasons.
Everybody saw this story yesterday, learned about this, and social media had a very fun day of let's eat the rich. You know, had a very fun day of more reasons to hate the rich. Look, they're cheating. They're denying spots to more deserving students. They're using their wealth to advance their children. And it even turned into, you know, this is a systemic failure that of wealth inequality, of how the wealthy stay wealthy and they make sure that nobody can ever achieve their status. So clearly we are undertaxing them. And that was the result. That was the conclusion that many people came to, was that we need to tax them. We need to tax the wealthy enough so that they're not capable of bribing anybody.
Because this select group of people decided to use their money fraudulently.
We must punish
everybody,
all of the rich. And nobody that I saw anyway looked at this story, read this story, and found themselves asking the question, what about the people accepting the bribes?
Right.
What about the failures within these institutions that welcome? Because none of this could have happened without complicity from inside these institutions.
Right.
None of this could have happened without complicity from the athletic staffs who falsified students' records to classify them as recruited or recruitable athletes to give them an advantage in getting admissions. None of this could have happened without admissions boards being willing to accept bribes. And all of these schools, most of these schools, there's some private schools in here as well, but a lot of these schools are state schools. They're government-run institutions.
Right.
That's you want to stop this. You need to put accountability and transparency into these institutions, because I don't care how much you tax the wealthy. There's always going to be the wealthiest people around. Whatever that scale is,
right?
You know, you could tax them at 95%. There's still going to be people that are wealthier than everybody else, and they're going to use that wealth to try to advance their lives and advance their kids' lives. And some of them will do it in unscrupulous means. That is a human condition that will never go away. So when you're dealing, when you want to figure out how to prevent something like this from happening again, it isn't tax the wealthy enough so that they don't have any disposable income to try to bribe people. No, it's transparency and accountability within the institutions that are allowing these things to go on, that are being complicit in these bribery schemes.
And you can already see people that are now saying, when it comes to, and I agree with you, right? But of course, this is turning into a political issue from the standpoint of, you don't want to criticize the government entity, as you've been mentioning. It's already being looked at as, well, you know, those individuals took that money, but it really does highlight the need that these schools have for more dollars.
Oh my God.
You know, if we were giving the schools their proper budget and funding, right? They wouldn't need to go and accept these bribes. They would have looked at these rich people and said, no, We would not do that.
You got the FBI and the Justice Department, you know, investigating this. You've got another story, and you know, from the sports arena where the coach, head coach of the LSU basketball team, I think I'm going off memory here, was busted in a, you know, a pay for play scandal. You see these. We've had sexual assault scandals. We've had cover ups of sexual assault scandals. The higher education system is absolutely corrupted and broken, and needs to be completely imploded and start over from scratch. These state-run government institutions are corrupt and rotting from the inside, and they're taking millions of dollars of tax money to stay afloat. Every year, the University of Minnesota system comes out, shows up the legislature with their hand out for millions and millions of dollars. They're taking tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in tuition fees. And what are they offering? What value are they really offering anymore? You got kid after kid after kid after kid that is graduating from these institutions, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt with a worthless piece of paper.
We're going to talk with Twitter provocateur, fellow iHeartRadio host, and apart from me, the most sensitive man I know, Jesse Kelly, about this very issue. InCitiesNewsTalk.com.
Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM, final segment of your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew. Make sure you listen to tomorrow's show when we will be broadcasting live from the auto show.
That's right, the 46th annual Twin Cities auto show. Make plans to come out and join us.
Sneak out in a Tesla.
That'd be nice. They got a lot of nice cars. I was looking at some stuff this morning. If you go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com and the Justice and Drew page, there's some cool updates and details on the event happening now on the through all weekend. Got a couple of things we want to put a bow on the conversation and maybe talk a little bit more about this college bribery scam. Also, this testimony from Lisa Page we'll get into with our next guest.
Watch out!
Twitter provocateur and fellow iHeartRadio host Jesse Kelly. Good morning, sir. How we doing?
That's kind of rude. I wasn't invited to the auto show, but I mean, whatever.
You're always you have a permanent invite to wherever we want to go. Whenever you show up, you just show up, man.
Well, I was expecting to get the keys to the city at some point, so that's fine.
As a kid, I always thought when someone was given the key to the city, it actually was a legitimate key that opened up all the government buildings.
Me too. I was amazed that they had a key that opened every door. I thought that was wonderful.
Right? I figured they were so special you were allowed to go wherever you wanted. Makes all the sense in the world. Hey, we may get into a little bit more details on this tomorrow, but one of the big the big stories, and the Vice headline really sort of lays out the point that Drew was making a moment ago about how they're complaining about all the wrong things with this, but the college bribery scam reveals how rich people use charity to cheat. You know, the way this whole thing is being framed is, you know, let's go and point the fingers, all the fingers at the rich, you know, B and C list actors who did this, and let's just ignore the fact that these were government entities that were more than willing to go and offer up and accept these bribes to further their children's education.
Yeah, I don't see what the big deal is. So rich people pay people off to get their kids access to other things. That's like the history of the world. I don't even see that as
right.
being remotely controversial or scandalous or anything else. I really don't see what the big deal is. It's a lot bigger deal that Harvard blocks Asian kids from getting in than it does rich people paying people to get into Yale.
Yeah, this and this behavior is not going to change. You know, I mean, one of the takeaways that I've seen people react to the story is, well, we're clearly undertaxing the wealthy. If they're able to have so much income, they're able to have so much wealth that they can do this, we need to tax them more so that they don't. And my head just explodes. Like, you know, tax them all you want. You're still going to have some people in society that are wealthier than others. Even if that means Jesse Kelly has $5 and I have one, Jesse Kelly is wealthier than me, and he can use those extra $4 to try to make his life better in some fashion. And if Jesse Kelly were unscrupulous, he might use that $4 in a way that, you know, is corrupted and illegal. It's not going to change anything.
Yeah, it's not. And I just, like I said, I can't make myself care that rich people were paying people off. I wake up every day with the knowledge that rich people, legally or otherwise, are paying people off to get things that I may not have access to.
Right.
That's life.
But here's the thing.
But I don't care about Yale, and I don't care about college. These little commie propaganda camps that they are anyway. I mean, half the time I hope my kids don't go to college. What do I
care? Right.
And a lot of people don't think about college as government, but these are state-run schools. These are state institutions. If you look at the list of the highest paid government employee in most states, a lot of times it's the college football coach.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The problem is that government is corrupt and government is corruptible.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care. I'm glad there are other avenues to get into college. Otherwise, every college would be all Asian kids.
Let's switch gears to some real corruption going on. I know you've been busy on yesterday and today on Twitter with this, but I'm looking at a tweet here from Representative John Ratcliffe. Lisa Page confirmed to me under oath, this is what he wrote, that the FBI was ordered by the Obama DOJ not to consider charging Hillary Clinton for gross negligence in the handling of classified information. This is certainly not getting the coverage, Jesse, that it should be getting right now, especially looking back at the Obama administration and the exposure of how corrupt they really, really were.
Yeah, look, I've never been one of these, people that chant lock her up at rallies and things like that. I don't do that stuff. I think some of that stuff is absurd.
Sure.
But if it comes out that Obama or someone in his department ordered the FBI to stand down, which is what this guy said, he asked her specifically and she said, yes, I was ordered to stand down. If the Department of Justice or Obama ordered an FBI agent to back off somebody for political purposes, somebody has to go to prison. That's jail time. That's way worse than anything corrupt even Hillary did as a candidate. If you use the forces and power of government while you're in government to campaign, that's scary abuse of power, and somebody has to get locked up for that. They have to.
Well, and it's becoming, and I know you tweeted about this, and the former Secret Service agent, Dan Bongino, I know he's all on top of this and wrote the book on this, but when you look at the whole rationale and the real reason why the Mueller investigation seems to be existing in the first place is nothing but one big, gigantic, long redirect. Hey, everybody, look over here. Let's drive this narrative so that we can ignore the real tangible evidence that we have of the corruption and the real scandal that's actually going on over here.
Yeah, and there's a frightening amount of tangible evidence that Obama or people in his administration were doing something really, really bad. And this is not wish casting. This is real stuff, real testimony from people showing electioneering by the FBI or maybe even Obama himself. We do not know. And like I said last night, what's going to happen is the Mueller report's going to come out. It's pretty much going to exonerate Trump. There's going to be no Russian collusion. And what they want is all the Trump supporters and people on the right to just go, whew, glad that's over. Anyway, let's move on.
Right.
That's their ultimate goal, so we don't look into what actually happened. Because what actually happened looks pretty stinking nefarious. It looks terrible. Richard Nixon had to resign for stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, no, it's... This is beyond, when you look at what's going on with the Justice Department, there's so much corruption. It goes beyond. It kind of makes Watergate look really bad when you start to look at the details of what's gone on here. You know, this is a group of rogue people. I don't even know if they were rogue. I mean, that might even be fair to call them. They would just be perfectly institutionalized individuals within the Justice Department that simply did not like the outcome of the election and decided on their own that, you know, this guy was unfit to be president. So they started using the levers of power that they had to try to remedy what they considered to be a wrong when there was actually no real crime being committed there.
Yeah, and this is not some low-level jerk-off stasher, staffer either.
Right.
We're talking McCabe. We're talking a special agent at the FBI. These are high, high-up people that are making these calls, and they're being honest about it. It's not like they're hiding it. We had McCabe on a media tour not that long ago talking about how he was trying to cite the 25th Amendment, and it was vote farming to see if he had enough votes to get the president out of office. That's scary. You can't just overdo the will of the people because you don't like the outcome of an election, especially when you're in the DOJ or the FBI, where you have a higher responsibility to act right and to be nonpartisan.
Well, they're not, you know, they're being honest about it because I don't know that they felt like they did anything wrong.
Right.
I mean, you had a culture of weaponizing all of these government departments under the Obama administration for so long that I think a lot of these people, you know, ascended to these offices and really felt like they were there, you know, to actually serve their own agendas. This is what government does. This is what we do.
Well, this is what it seems to maybe it's always been like this. It seems to me I'm seeing a lot more of this from the left now than I've ever seen before. Of they think they're right, they know they're right, like they know it in their soul, and because of that, it allows them to do whatever they want. It gives their conscience permission to do whatever they want. Because you're right, they didn't like the election; they thought it was so wrong. So, my goodness, we can do anything we want to stop this. But that's not how that works now. And I see a lot of that from people on the left, that anything you do to someone on the right is fine because they're so wrong and evil, and it's gross.
Well, and what we're looking at right now, and what I think a majority of the American public doesn't realize, is what we're looking at right now is a game of chicken. You've got individuals like Devin Nunes, and you have people like individual one. You have people like President Donald Trump. And when President Donald Trump tweets those things out that we read on the air, we mock a little bit because he's capitalized letters and all that when he's pushing back against Mueller, I'm of the opinion he's doing that because he actually knows the reality. He knows fully the reality of what's going on and also knows that he can't show his hand completely. And what I feel like is happening right now is Mueller continues to drag this investigation out because he knows once it's done, then that part of it's done, and there's not going to be anything else that they can do to push the narrative forward once all the evidence is out there. On the other side, you've got Nunes, and you've got Trump, and you've got other individuals that also know what's going on, and there's this game of chicken, like, who's going to blink?
Right.
Who's going to blink first in this whole thing?
And people lament, you know, when Donald Trump has made comments that appear to undermine the intelligence community, right? When he's made comments on foreign affairs or foreign relations, and then everybody says, oh, but the intelligence community has all come to this consensus on. Well, put yourself in Donald Trump's shoes for just a minute. If this is the same intelligence community, right, that created this dossier and started investigating him and his campaign for Russia collusion, if you were that guy and you were innocent of all those things and you knew you were innocent of all those things, how much faith would you have in that intelligence community?
Yeah, and let's not forget the intelligence community serves at the pleasure of the president.
Well, they're supposed to.
Foreign policy. They can advise, but the president is the one the American people elect to decide our foreign policy, not vice versa. The intelligence community is not some opposition party, and they don't get to be. And how could he have any other view of them than ugly when every single former head of the CIA is constantly out there in the public trashing him day in and day out? If I were him, I'd be breaking the CIA into 1,000 pieces by this point in time with the FBI.
I feel like both of these stories are about to erupt really soon. I feel like the situation, the testimony from Lisa Page and what is coming to light about what the Obama administration did, I feel like sort of this game of chicken, but it really is. There's these two freight trains that are headed towards each other, and they're both, you know, one of them is about to break free with all of their information. But I think we're already seeing the signals on the left that the expectation that Mueller's investigation is going to be anything of a very powerful train. No, it's going to be more like a trolley. Ding, ding, by the time it pulls into the station.
Yeah, but you know what? In a serious note, this is what I'm worried about. I'm worried that the Mueller investigation ends, and Pelosi, savvy as she is extremely Washington savvy, she cuts some kind of deal with Trump to just drop the whole thing, and Trump drops the whole thing.
Yeah.
I bet you money that's what happens. People can delude themselves all they want that, hey, as soon as this is over, we're going after them and we're going to hold people accountable. When are people ever held accountable? The Clintons should have been behind bars 2 decades ago. People were never held accountable in power.
Jesse Kelly, as always, man, we appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Be good, fellas.
All right. Be brave, sir. Go bravely onto that Twitter feed.
All right, tomorrow we are live from the auto show. Katie Pavlich, possibly.
Yeah.
Joining us.
Well, she said we'll find out. I've always trepidations of asking. Haven't had her on for 3 weeks, but we will hopefully see if that's going to be able to take place.
Plus, we'll have information for you on how you can help us raise money for Mended Hearts, a nonprofit that's been offering the gift of hope to heart disease patients, their families, and caregivers. Really fantastic organization. We'll bring you details tomorrow on how you can help us raise a lot of money for them.
They're with near and dear to my heart.
With the help of the auto show.
Absolutely. Go to the website, TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, and the Justice and Drew page for more information.
Have a great day, everybody. Be safe. Stay warm. Communication. I don't give me sorrow. I want equal opportunity to live tomorrow.